We shall continue with our sharing. We were on page 218. Awareness. What is awareness? So this year, Krishnamurti quote on awareness is very good. So this one, when you understand, you will know how to do it. He didn't use the Buddhist terminology, but he used day-to-day society's language. Yeah. But his definition is very complete, very, very clear. Okay. Okay. Yeah.
5.3. Awareness is the silent and choiceless observation of what is, J. Krishnamurti. The below J. Krishnamurti's daily quote below was read by Sister Ingby at Brother Steele's request. Awareness is the silent and choiceless observation of what is. In this awareness, the problem unrolls itself, and thus it is fully and completely understood. A problem is never solved on its own level. Being complex, it must be understood in its total process. To try to solve a problem on only one level, physical or psychological, leads to further conflict and confusion. For the resolution of a problem, there must be this awareness, this passive alertness, which reveals its total process. J. Krishnamurti. 5.3.1. What is silence? Can you all understand this daily quote? What is silence? Not just don't talk, silent. Here means no chattering. Completely no mental chattering and verbalization. No mental chattering or verbalization means no thought. That's what awareness is. But sometimes when you are silent, it doesn't mean you are aware, because you can be doing a disciplined attention. You silence your mind like no thought, but you have a thought inside there that discipline you via saying, I must be mindful. Then you are no longer mindful or aware. That's why don't try to be mindful, because the trying is by the thought, but instead just maintain silence. 5.3.2. What is awareness? The moment you are silent, you are already aware. So why do you want to be aware or try to be aware? During one of the recorded Satipatthana Sutta workshop, I heard this funny question that they asked. Who is aware? And aware of what? If you inquire this way, then you will get caught, because you thought awareness is a knowing. That's why you ask, who is aware? And aware of what? Very logical, isn't it? But because most people's sakkayadibbhi or self-delusion is so strong, so how can they be aware? The thought always wants to be aware via verbalization. That's why it is a focused attention. Focused attention means the thought wants to be aware. The thought is still active behind the awareness. So how can it be aware? Understand or not? The thought is trying to be silent, to be aware of what it wants to be aware. So the moment you want to be aware of that thing, you are no longer aware. 5.3.3. Choiceless. Not making any choice or decisions. Awareness is just silent. Then choiceless means you don't try to make a choice. There is no decision of what you are aware of. But the Buddha saying, in the seeing, there is only the seeing consciousness, and there is no one to see as yet. It is just the consciousness, just like the physics experiment. Upon contact, the light bulb lights up, which means the consciousness just arises naturally. Can't you just be aware of the consciousness, the pure consciousness, before you input the content of consciousness? The trouble with you is, you are so fast and wire memory, you already label it as flower, book, etc., because of your conditioned thinking. That's why you cannot see. In order to see, you must have this ability to be silent, and you must have sati and samadhi. Otherwise, these aggregates of mind, they will arise very fast. The mind stir and it come up very fast and you cannot do anything about it. So that's why when you read J. Krishnamurti's quote, Sati is awareness, and what is awareness? J. Krishnamurti said, awareness is the silent and choiceless observation of what is. What is the reality before the labeling, that actual thing. So don't try to go and develop a duality to react to what you see or observe. That's why it is just a choiceless observation of the reality, of what is. And what is means the isness of thing or the reality. Isness is suchness. That's why the Buddha is called the Tathagata, who is an expert on Tathagata, and Tathagata is suchness. So the choiceless observation of what is observing the isness of things, and it's just the silent awareness of reality within the moment. 5.3.4, listening attentively without thought. Sister Monica said, in one of my meditation on Thursday, correct me if I am wrong, whether that is sati or not, I could hear the talk that you were giving, and I know that there were brothers and sisters around me. But there was this joy in me, I wasn't thinking, and I know that it was after the whole thing that I started to recollect back. I was so joyful. I know that there was Brother Theo talking, and there were people around, but just that and then nothing else. Brother Theo said, okay, sadhu, because when you listen attentively, there is no interference from your thought, from your opinions, your views, your conditioning, etc. You don't comment inside there. You just listen attentively, without any reaction. That's what choiceless awareness is all about. But the moment you perceive or the mind cognize, that's already the mind coming out of sati. But in her case, she is very good because she did not allow it to continue to think, which means there is awareness. Then there is a perception of Brother Theo talking. All the vibrations, etc., just go in. Then if she wants to understand, she can understand. But she did not arise any thought to interfere, which means there is no view, opinion, or conditioning coming out of it. Just an open mind that listens. No right, no wrong. That's how I investigate with the silent mind to find out whether it is the truth or not. When I can listen attentively without thought, which means I have very good sati or awareness, then this sati can do Dharma investigation. 5.3.5. Sankhya Ditti, self-delusion, and the three evil roots. I will go on with the J. Krishnamurti's quote, then you will understand better. The quote said, awareness is the silent and choiceless observation of what is. Then he goes on to say, problems will always exist where the activities of the self are dominant. Can you all understand this statement? What are the activities of self? What is self? Self is ego, the personality, the I and the me. And this egoic mind is your thought or the five mental aggregates. When there is sakkaya ditti or self-delusion, then this thought becomes egoic, which means the thought will have selfishness, emotion, doubt, and fear, etc. And they are part of the three evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. So it is exactly what the Buddha taught. Problems will always exist where activities of the self, conditioned by self-delusion, are dominant. Or when the three evil roots are there. Because when there is this self-delusion to grasp at the form and mind, thinking that it is you, whether it is the human being or the mental five aggregates of rupa, vedana, sanya, sankara, and minana, then suffering will arise. Any of these five aggregates of form and mind, if you grasp and cling through self-delusion, thinking that feeling is you, that all these external forms you see, you can own and possess them, and thinking that all of the perceptions that you perceive and label are real, also can be owned, can be possessed, including all of the views and opinions that you are holding on to to class all of the phenomena and things that you become conscious of.
So you are holding on to, then force, plus all the phenomena and things that you become conscious of. You read again.
Okay. Including all of the views and opinions that you are holding on to, plus all of the phenomena and things that you become conscious of. You can grasp and cling onto them while giving them meaning, then suffering will follow you. Hence the reason why the Buddha said in his first Noble Truth final summary. In short, the five grasping aggregates of Upadana Khanda are dukkha. So the teaching is exactly the same, because the thought, which is the five mental aggregates, if you grasp onto them as the me and the I via self-delusion, then suffering will arise. Or like what J. Krishnamurti said via his daily quote, so problems will always exist when the activities of the self, which is the self-delusion, are dominant. To be aware which are and which are not the activities of the self needs constant vigilance. 5.3.6. Be constantly aware and heedful. Constant vigilance here means constantly aware and heedful. That is, when the evil roots are there, then the self is there. When the selfishness, the emotional negativities, the fear and the manifestation of the mental ego are there, you have to be aware. That's what vigilance means. The Buddha used the words constantly aware, which is the same as vigilance. That's why in certain books, heedfulness is also translated as vigilance. So it is only when you are constantly aware, only then you can do something about it. Otherwise, you cannot, because the mind is so fast. 5.3.7. Vigilance or awareness is not discipline or focused attention. Then, what did Krishnamurti say? This vigilance is not a disciplined attention. Just like what I had shared with you all earlier on. How do you discipline, and do you know what discipline is? Just like in the military, full discipline. You must do this, you must do that. You must note this and you must note that. You must meditate like that. And all these are disciplined attention or focused attention. Do you understand? But awareness has nothing to do with thought. Who discipline? The thought wants to discipline. The thought wants to be aware. The thought wants to maintain attention. And the worst is, the thought wants to meditate. And what happens when the meditator, which is the thought, is so actively meditating? You are no longer aware because you are verbalizing via the thought. Now you can laugh, but last time you just follow instructions and do without understanding. You are just being gullible.
So at this point, by now you should understand that thought-based meditation cannot lead to awakening, because you are using the thought to meditate, to note, to create all the verbalization, the noting, the chattering. When thought is active, how can you be aware? Well, you are preoccupied with what your thought is telling you. And you are preoccupied with what the reaction from that thought through your discriminative mind, mundane mind, is doing. And because of that, how can you be aware? You can only do one thing at a time. Either you are without thought, fully aware of what is going on with clarity, or preoccupied with something else. Okay, so this part is a re-explanation of what I had earlier explained.
This vigilance is not a disciplined attention, because once the thought is active, then you are no longer in sati already. For sati is awareness, or the silence before the thinking or knowing. Since vigilance or sati is an extensive awareness, which is choiceless, as opposed to disciplined attention, which is thought-based, hence the reason why J. Krishnamurti go on to say that disciplined attention gives strength to the self. This is because when the user of thought is deluded, then thought will be egoic. Egoic means self-centered. So when you try to discipline and when you try to meditate with the thought, or when you try to be aware, it is already a disciplined attention already, because the trying is by the thought. And when thought is there, you give it mental energy, and this will strengthen the self, the ego, which is the personality. Then what happens? You can no longer see things as they are, because you are preoccupied with the doing, via the thoughts, hence you lack clarity. Whereas awareness, on the other hand, is not self-induced, and there is nobody inside there to be aware. It is just an awareness nature, which is the essence of the mind. The silent mind, which is just aware. A general, spacious, or specific phenomena, awareness, before the knowing or labeling via thoughts or the aggregates of mind.
So this one, who will be able to understand only after you have developed the sati, stabilize it. Because this awareness before the knowing is just the awareness nature within that is aware. There is nobody inside there. So when you are just aware, it means there is this spacious awareness without a center, or specific phenomenal awareness. I mean, your awareness and the thing become one. Means you go to that space, but it's not focus, discipline. It's the awareness that moves with the thing, like kaya nupasana, nature's phenomena, physical phenomena, all of mental movement and phenomena. The awareness can be with it because it is just an awareness. No thought, nothing. Not preoccupied anything. Whereas the thought-based one, you can't. So understanding this is very important. That's why if you don't stabilize your awareness, you cannot understand what I mean. Then when you are just aware, relax and aware, there is no center. No center means you are not dwelling anywhere in the sun. The mind must have no dwelling means you are not dwelling anywhere. Not even on phenomena. But our specific phenomenal awareness is you didn't really dwell because you didn't perceive, understand? You didn't go into the nitty-gritty of that phenomena. So specific means the awareness moves it. Although it appears like it is like centered at somewhere, understand, on the phenomena, which may be moving or non-moving, not important. It will just stay there, aware. Like and when I observe something, aware. No word, nothing, I observe the whole microphone. Okay? I just observe. Then it can be the building, the table, the nature, everything I just observe. Then the awareness is with it. Like just now, Sui and me, after the class, we were standing there near the ladies' toilet. Then I said, you look at nature, so beautiful with the breeze, everything. Then after that, she also saw the tree, the leaf up there, the movement. And this is awareness. Because you didn't get lost in it, understand? You didn't come up with the command, understand? The discrimination. You just see the flow. Oh. Then I told her, you look specifically for the some, he has his own movement, nature's movement. Then the awareness is with it, understand? That is what awareness is all about. You don't want to label it. But initially, you are not used to it. So when this thing happens, you don't know what it is. Then you go back to your mundane mind, understand? Oh, very cute. Then, oh, the plant, the what. Because I told you when I was young, I was sitting on the bench, I was looking at nature. Then I saw the flow. Like everything is a flow. Actually, I was watching it with the awareness, specific phenomenal awareness, the flow, that movement. Then I felt very strange. That time I was very young, I think 9 or 10 years old. Then I knew this is something I have already understood in the past, but I don't know what it is, because I haven't meditated yet. I haven't understood the teaching and all things yet. Then later on, only I know. This is awareness. That's why if you have cultivated in the past, it will manifest. But initially, like, you know this is something unique. You know this is something important. But at that time, you can see, but you don't have the understanding. Because you don't know what it is. Until you connect, understand or not? Connect. Then you inherit. Then the awareness nature come back. Yeah. Before, you have can have glimpses of it, where you have done it before. It's just like a talented musician. If that musician has been so talented and become so famous and so good, life after life, he has that interest. He has that, what they call, ambition to become very good music. So his life or her life is all the time in this field. So whenever he take birth, or this being take birth, as a kid, if he see any musical instrument that he is familiar, he will be attracted or not. Then he will go and play or not. And naturally, he know how to play. There are certain parent feel, how come my kid is like that one? Oh. So this is what you actually carry over from your past. Your whatever cultivation that you have stabilized, the understanding, then it will manifest like glimpses of it. That's why if you observe yourself, you observe your kid, you observe other, you can see their talent. But if you didn't observe, means what? You perceive them to be naughty or to be what? Hey, don't touch. These are very expensive. If you touch, you spoil, have to pay. Then you cannot see that kid's talent really. Because you think he's playful. And that's, he think he's curious. He wants to touch everything. The one that has the talent on different one. Sometimes you take them to the like mall or wherever, yeah, where all these outlets selling things on. So you may be busy shopping and all that. Suddenly your kid walk away, went into that shop that has the musical instrument. And you also don't know why he do that. Then you went in, you cannot find him. Then you like panic, where is he? Then finally you found he's in the musical, listening to the music. Understand? And then that kid got talent. So this is naturally what she has done before in the past. Okay? So when you observe, you can understand. If you don't observe, you preempt it. It's just like most people, they never observe the kid. They are very protective. If they see any danger, he very protective. Straight away, no. Come. There are a lot of things, don't let him touch, don't let him try. If you are too protective, then you tend to pamper them, spoil them. This type of parent cannot bring up the kid properly. Understand? You're too protective. Then you make the kid spoil. Like, don't have the ability to survive. The survival instinct, very weak. Yeah, everything also you take care. No need to wash. Just leave it there. The maid will wash. Then everything also no need to do. So, and the kid become what it is because in the past, they were parents like their parents. Also spoil the kid, pamper them, and protect it. That's why now you have parents, you reap what you sow. Understand? So the way you bring up your kid, like the Buddha mentioned in the Sigalawana Sutta, it's about how you develop that understanding to live. So this is the sutta for lay people. They even mention you have a duty. So this duty is towards the law of nature. Then they give in the Sigalawala Sutta the duty of parents, the duty of children, the duty of employer and employee, the duty of spouse. And all. It's all mentioned there. And this is to take care of karma so that you don't get into trouble. So the duty of a parent, I remember, including arranging for their marriage. You understand? But that one is worldly, you understand? When it comes to worldly Dhamma society. But more important is, there's another one, to pass on the inheritance to them at the appropriate time. You go and check, always like that. Then to guide them, to provide for them. Then to like guide them and provide for them is like the daily need and all things. Then guide means teach them what is appropriate and what is not appropriate. Means you cannot simply do things that has selfishness and all those things. But that part is more difficult. Then there is a lot of other things. I think minimum 5 or 6 items, I forgot already. You go and check the sutta, you will know. Then duty of a child. One of them is support your parents. when they are old and all those things. Because when they are in the working career phase, they take care of you, they care for you, they sacrifice. So this type of gratitude towards parents, karma-wise, is very powerful. If you neglect your parents, it's like very severe coming on. Like Mongalana. Because selfish, that life, together with the wife, actually maybe influenced by the wife. They hear the parent being blind, very difficult to take care of them. So, must be the wife of the plan. If we take them for a trip, then after that, halfway, they pretend to be like robber or burglar. Or then they shout very loud or they are threatened to harm. You know what the parents say? Now, we have a parent blind. Oh, son, don't worry. Daughter-in-law, just escape. Run. Don't worry about us. And instead, they will kill the parent. That's why that karma, he could not smash up or anything. And he became around. So, karma, you cannot play a fool. Okay? Now, we continue.
5.3.8 Meaning of what is. Awareness or sati is the silent and choiceless observation of what is. What is suchness, the isness of things, the reality or the truth. Not a concept, not an ideal, not what you perceive to be, but just what is, that reality. Silent means mentally silent, not just you don't talk. Then choiceless awareness means no views, no opinions, and no judgment, etc. You don't go and decide, and you don't go and discriminate. You don't go and create dualities out of nothing. So awareness is the silent and choiceless observation of the truth or the reality, which is the same as when you see things as they are. It means the truth, which is also what is, or the isness of things. 5.3.9 Self-delusion and seeing things as they are. Then J. Krishnamurti said, problems will always exist when the activities of the self are dominant. Self, as you know, is your akta, your self-delusion, your misconception. That conditioned you to cling on to these 5 aggregates of form and mind, both aspects. The first aspect of it is as a human being. We all have a physical body or form, first aggregate. And then we all have a mind which can feel, perceive, think, and become conscious, the other 4 mental aggregates. Combining them, we have the first aspect of the 5 aggregates of form and mind as a human being or a living being. The second aspect is the 5 mental aggregates of form and mind that arise with every moment of sense, door, consciousness. When you attach and cling, there is this ego or personality that you create, and that is what Krishnamurti called the self. The moment you have this egoic mind, or the sense of self created, then it is capable of selfishness, emotional negativities, and fear through delusion, hence conditioning the 3 evil roots to arise. And that's why J. Krishnamurti also said the same via his quote, that problems will always exist when the activities of the self, which is the egoic mind or self-delusion, are dominant. Then he said, in order to be aware which are and which are not the activities of the self, you need constant vigilance. And this vigilance is not a disciplined attention. Disciplined attention means regimented attention, which means through the thought, you want to be aware, and through the thought, you want to discipline yourself. Like, this is how you should meditate, and this is how you should note, this is how you should do things. All these are disciplined or focused attention, and not a silent general awareness. So, when you understand that vigilance is not a disciplined attention, but an extensive awareness which is choiceless, then you can develop the understanding of what sati or awareness is. Then Krishnamurti goes on to say, this disciplined attention gives strength to the self because the thought which is egoic is involved. So when you try to discipline and meditate with the thought, or when you try to be aware, who is trying? The thought is trying. And when the thought is there, you give energy to it and it will strengthen the self or the ego. Then what happens? You become more deluded and heedless. Whereas awareness, on the other hand, is not self-induced and there is nobody inside that is there to be aware. It is just an awareness nature, an essence of mind which is just aware and ever mindful within. It's just like inquiring, who is aware of the silence of nature? In the middle of the night, when there is no more vibration, which means no more hearing consciousness, but yet there is still a nature within you that can be aware of that silence, that stillness, the mind that doesn't chatter anymore because there is no more thought and it is not a condition arising consciousness. So who is aware of that silence? It is just this essence of mind that is aware of silence, and that is your true nature, your true mind. But you seldom or hardly touches it. Even when you touch it momentarily, it is so fast and you couldn't recognize it. For most of you, you only know thoughts. That is the only instrument you have been using rampantly to live life since birth. And that is why you have a lot of problem and suffering. And because of that, you cannot develop the ability to be aware. It is because when your thoughts are so rampantly proliferating, you hardly got any space between thoughts to experience the silence. 5.3.10. The space between thoughts. Can remember, the space between thoughts which we discussed at our recently concluded Cameron Highlands retreat. When you think continuously until you have no more space between thoughts, hence there is no more clarity of mind to be aware because you are so preoccupied with thoughts. And this space between thoughts, which is very important, is not there. Between two thoughts, first and the second thought, there is this space in between. When you have this space, you can then realize that this space is silence, peace and tranquility leading to stillness. When you are without thought, this is what you will experience. This space between thoughts can only be realized by the true cultivator of the way. And they are so different because this is heedful living. And most of the time, you are constantly aware and ever mindful. So this is the part. If you cannot understand because you never meditate until your mind is so quiet and so still, then you can never understand what sati is. For sati can only be understood when you had realized it. The moment the form and mind realize it, it will know what sati is. No need any words or explanation. So the space between thoughts is very important. The reason why J. Krishnamurti said, awareness, on the other hand, is not self-induced, nor it is the outcome of a practice. Who practice? The thought practice meditation. That's why it is different, because the real sati is without thought. Do you understand? 5.3.11, training the heedless or mundane mind. You can train your mind because it is heedless. So train the heedless mind, the mundane mind. Then when that one ceases or is no longer active, then the nature comes out or shines forth. The nature doesn't practice. You don't try to practice to be aware because your true mind or your true nature They are already aware and you only need to be silent, then it will manifest. Because the nature is awareness itself, so why must you practice to be aware? What you already have within your nature, you don't have to train or practice to get it, isn't it? When you don't have, then you have to train, you have to practice. Just like the mundane mind which is heedless, thinks a lot, restless, with all the emotions and delusion. That one you need to train. That's why you only train the mundane mind. But to develop sati and mindfulness, you don't go and practice. Can you understand? The Buddha taught you five ways to overcome unwholesome thoughts. And what is the third way? Just aware, right? Don't do anything. Then the mundane mind will return to its original state before the steering, and you will come to realize that the original state of mind before the steering is already aware. And this awareness is the silence, peace, tranquility, and the stillness. So you don't try to be aware. You only have to understand that the moment you don't think, this awareness is already there. It is in fact all the time there, but because you are clouded by thought, deluded by thought, actively chasing after thought, you cannot see and you cannot understand. Do you know why? Because you lack mindfulness or awareness, and the meditator, which is the thought, is so active. So how can there be silence? That's why the real meditation is just silence. But initially, you cannot be silent because the mundane mind has a lot of mental hindrances, a lot of delusion, sakkaya ditti. That's why it thinks a lot, because all of your conscious living since birth until now, you use thoughts, endlessly using thoughts. That's why they say the heedless thinks a lot. So now you understand why most of you think a lot. It is only either at the retreat or if you have cultivated before in the past, then for certain moments of your life, you may experience that silence. Then the moment you experience it, you will know the big difference between the heedless thinking mind and the heedful silent mind. That's why when you see the difference between the two, you will determine never to be heedless anymore. Because the heedful state is so beautiful, whereas the heedless state is so full of suffering, problems, and delusion leading to all the fear, worry, sorrow, lamentation, anxiety, and misery. All of the so-called problems of life, and that's the reason why Krishnamurti said, problems will always exist when the activity of the self, which is the ego, is there. You can never be free. Then after that, what did Krishnamurti say? Awareness, on the other hand, is not self-induced, nor is it the outcome of practice. So you don't go and foolishly practice to be mindful. You only need to train your mundane mind to be quiet while anchoring it to something so that it will not wander off, so that it can stay with the object of meditation, so that it can be with the moment without thought. After you have anchored it, you have to stabilize it until it becomes very quiet and still. Anchor it through what? Through the awareness. Since the mind can only do one thing at a time, so if you think a lot, then how can you train the mundane mind? So you have to anchor into something so that it doesn't wander off. Just aware of in and out breath. You train the mundane mind to just be mindful of the in and out breath until one day, when this mundane mind comes to realize that if it listens to you, it will be very peaceful. If it didn't listen to you, it will become very heedless. This is the beginning. That's why I say, the moment you can train your mind to be aware, that's only the beginning of real meditation. Now you understand what I meant. Last time, you all could not understand. Question. You mean after attending all the retreats, I come back, I still haven't started the real meditation? Answered by Brother Theo. Yes, you haven't started because you could not understand what sati is. 5.3.12. Understanding the content of consciousness. Now after you have developed the understanding, you can really laugh because heedlessness is like that. The mundane mind is like that and you cannot differentiate between the two. Your true mind and the thinking mind, which is also the mundane mind or deluded Sakaya Ditti mind, the self-delusion. Then what else did Krishnamurti say? Awareness, on the other hand, is not self-induced, nor is it the outcome of practice. It is an understanding, which is wisdom to understand what thought is and all the related problems that thought had created. Content of consciousness means the hidden as well as the superficial. You know what is the hidden? The hidden is your subconscious and unconscious. That one you cannot see, whereas superficial is the conscious mind. So you have to develop the whole understanding of the whole content of what so-called thought, which is related to your so-called problems. When you grasp and cling deludedly to the thought, which is your five mental aggregates of form and mind, they will become grasping aggregates, and then suffering will arise. So your whole of suffering or problem, which is related to the contents, both the hidden and the superficial, you must develop the understanding of it. Then, how do you do it? According to J. Krishnamurti, the surface must be understood for the hidden to show itself. The hidden cannot be exposed if the surface mind is not quiet. So when the chattering is still going on, how can you meditate? Do you understand? That mundane thinking mind has to be quiet only then there is sati and samadhi. Then only you can meditate. Otherwise, the spiritual faculties of sati and samadhi cannot arise. Sati is just a sign of inner awareness, and samadhi is the stability of it. This sati and samadhi also haven't developed as yet, and you want to meditate. So who meditates? The thought meditates. The spiritual faculties are still not there, and you want to meditate. That's why you are wasting your time. Thought-based meditation has this problem because the thought is actively noting and labeling concept after concept. The next word explains it even better. JK explained to you how verbalization dulls the mind. So I will read the quote again. The surface must be understood for the hidden to show itself. The hidden cannot be exposed if the surface mind is not quiet. 5.3.13. Silence the mundane mind to develop the understanding. So you have to be really, really silent the mundane mind to develop the understanding. The whole process of understanding the thought has nothing to do with words, verbalization, nor is it a matter of mere experience, because experience is also from the thought. Who experienced the thought experience? Pleasant and unpleasant, nice and not nice. Awareness doesn't experience anything. Awareness has got no mental state, and there is no light and dislike. The experiencing comes from the mundane mind. So the next word is what? Verbalization, and verbalization indicates what? Yes, dullness of mind. And you all some more go and note rising, rising, falling, falling, etc. to make your mind even more dull. But if you know how to do chanting, then it is different. The verbalization comes out. The vibration comes out, and the awareness is aware of it, which is not the thought noting another thought. When you are aware of the thought, it is a different thing. It is sati. Thought will arise because upon contact, it will trigger up. And there is awareness which can be with the moment of contact. At the moment of that arising of consciousness, just like what the Buddha said, in this seeing, it is just the seeing consciousness. When sati is aware of the moment of consciousness, then it can understand how the mind conditioned by its content of consciousness move or stir inside. You can be with the moment to be aware of them all. That's why sati can see thought, and sati can see all the aggregates of thought. But thought cannot see awareness. So this one is a very important understanding, because Krishnamurti said, Verbalization indicates dullness of mind. An experience being what? Cumulative means what? Ah, yes, memory. You accumulate what you experience as memory. That's why Mahayana Buddhism said the second noble truth is accumulation or qi. The four noble truths they recite as
Ku qi mie dao.
Ku qi mie dao. It never said cause of suffering. It said you continue to accumulate suffering. There is accumulation. So accumulation being cumulative makes for repetition. You know why JK said that? When you accumulate as memory, that is your downfall. Because if you cannot see that it's just a thought that you retrieve via memory, then it will condition your craving, your positive and negative cravings. Because you had that experience before. Let's say you come across nice food or beautiful experience or good meditative experiences. Then what happened? Next time when you do your meditation or when you eat something, you want to compare and you want to measure through what? Memories. Wow, last time that shop very nice. Oh, my last meditation was so beautiful. Then you make a wish. How nice if I can repeat that experience. Then your meditation becomes what? Good and bad meditation experiences. Then what are you doing? Then where is your heedfulness? Where is your training? Where is the training? Then where is the Noble Eightfold Path? That's how you lost your focus. Do you understand? Because you got distracted by the very peaceful and calm state of what meditative experience, of that meditative experience. That's why JK said, experience being cumulative makes for repetitiveness. Meaning you want it to be repeated. That's how you develop habits. That's how you get into delusion. That's how you become afflicted. When things don't go your way and when you cannot get what you want. Suffering is the result, and that's one of the first noble truth realities that can condition one's suffering. And you still happily are playing with it, thinking that you are very great. Wow. I want to meditate until I get back that state. So now you start to understand why all these are actually foolishness and delusion, isn't it?
Okay, I add in a bit. So now you understand why memory got this problem. Understand? Because when you accumulate all your experiences, what you do? You call it ego mind. You want good experiences. You want pleasant, wonderful experiences. Understand? Then the memory create craving. Understand? You want it repeated, yeah. Then the one that is negative one, fearful one, phobia and all those things, threatening one, you don't want it repeated as well. So that's how your fear, worry, anxiety arise. That's how your craving, your lust, your desire arise. Understand? So accumulation is actually suffering. They say Mahayana no. You read the Four Noble Truths, Ku qi mie dao. Cause of arising and suffering is qi, accumulation. People cannot understand. But I understand, accumulate in the brain. That's why I remember Adeline's husband, Jared. Jared?
Jared.
Jared. Whatever the pronunciation. He came to my house. Say, but you are the first person who make me understand the Mahayana teaching. That's why I cannot understand. Ku qi mie dao. Ours is samudaya. Cause of arising of suffering. So, until you explain memory, whatever you accumulate through memory, that will condition your suffering. Because it will trigger off light and dislike. Yeah, what is memory? All of your experience, good and bad, you accumulate. And because you are deluded, egoic, you cling on to what? All the good and the sound. Whatever that is, like you don't like one, you don't even want to think, then you try to avoid. That's why the moment you see or you hear those things that you don't like your phobia, scars or memory, that emotional reaction, or what they call the mandimai, stir already. That's how memory accumulation is suffering. And this one, you know why it happened now. This is karmic, understand now. You will go and store those memories that haunt you to make you miserable, understand now. Sometimes nightmare, you know, see. It's just like Sui share the debate suddenly. If you are in the past, he must have, she must have this type of thing before. That sometimes she could have trigger or cause people that situation. You know? Like you suddenly, hey, it's your turn to speak. You better quickly go out. That fellow prepare halfway or prepare already. Want to read from the script, you suddenly tell him over. Then he panic, he forgot to bring the script. He went up there, he stand there, he blank. They say you cannot. This is what karma is all about. Whatever you cause, you reap what you sow. They say, don't panic people, understand? Don't get angry at them, don't mess up with situation. Have goodness, have kindness, have love, understanding. Be sensitive. Yeah. Then understand causes and effect, cause and effect, cause and effect, or condition behind. If no condition, don't keep on. Then don't create unnecessary negative karmic conditioning. Even your children also say no. Sometimes you say, out of love, good for that boy. What you do? You discipline the boy. This one cannot. Oh, then, like I told you, the Subang there couple force the son, ground him, go eat preserve. So, all these type of things you do to them, in future, you have parents that send you in that direction also. Discipline you, control you, and create havoc for your life. Is that what you want? That's why if that is not what you want, you look at life. How you bring up your kid, you will have parents who bring you up the same way. If you are heedless, neglect, as a parent, as a father, every time you go and drink, drunk, go and gamble, create problem for the family, then you know what happened. The children suffer, the wife suffer, you also suffer. Then in future, what happened? You will be born into a family, your parents also a gambler, drink a lot, then never take care of family, irresponsible. So, you suffer back. The last time you did this to your children. Now you reap what you sow, you have parents put it back to you. Understand? So sometimes you cannot say, why my karma so bad, so sweet. My parents are that. People's parents are, you compare it. You're born with a silver spoon, got driver, got chauffeur, got maid. Nice bungalow, every now and then, tour, travel, eat good food. Sometimes in the school, you remember, no? Especially secondary school. Sometimes certain primary school also. The holiday, after holiday come back, the teacher will ask you to write essay. Write essay. So the kid will write, my parents took me this, go this country, that country, overseas. You're the parent cat for us. Then the teacher read, amusing. Kelvin, come. Can you read your essay? Then the other boy from rural area, poor. After that, I'm going to ask him, hey, Kelvin, nice. You plane, you fly. You become so curious. But why? Because they have this paramia, you read what, last time you also take care of your kid, you provide for them, you care for them, then you allow them to have all this, understand? But you didn't pamper them. So the kid also grow up having this type of condition. It's how you understand karma. So a lot of things in life, do not be selfish and deluded because at the moment you think you are in power, in authority, understand? My children, I take care of myself. That's why you don't bother, you neglect your duty. Law of karma is like, you neglect your duty, you cannot back up karma. You reap what you sow. That's why the enlightened noble disciple of the Buddha, they have this quality of right duty. It's the order of the disciple of the Buddha. So they got good conduct, upright conduct, right duty, and wise conduct. So this four is always with them. So to live life, to have the good life, you must have this conduct. And to have this conduct, you must have the Dhamma, Noble Eightfold Path understanding, embodiment of the Noble Eightfold Path. Okay? Yeah. Continue.
5.3.14. Awareness is not determination. The next line is what? Awareness is not a matter of determination. You cannot determine to be aware, because who determines? The thought determines. For purposive direction is resistance. And because thought direct, meaning you want things your way, that's why you resist. That's why I say you have the accord and flow if you want to be free. Meditation is not about resisting anything. You just relax and silent, accord and flow, and be with the moment. Then you will understand.
This is very true. Eh? You must just relax, silent, accord and flow. Means flow with it. Understand? Don't resist. Whatever that is rigid through resistance is suffering. You cannot resist on. Condition like that, things will be like that. So you accord and flow. Understand? Now? You don't go and create delusion through one thing, thing your way. Is it? Understand? Now? You cannot say, hey, cannot. Huh? How can you do this? It's not you, understand? Because that guy has his condition, understand? So you cannot stop. Most likely, you go and do that, you keep on, you will get into trouble. So that fellow will whack you and say, who the hell are you? I discipline my children, cannot. Then a lot of misunderstanding and conflict arise. That's why I do not resist, just echo and flow. Doesn't mean you don't do anything wrong. If you've got condition, yes, then you try to help. But if no condition, how? If you got condition also, you must know how to resolve it amicably. You don't go and scold the fellow and stop the father from doing anything. You use your noble eightfold power. With right view, you understand they are just the way they are, coming and all things. But then if there is condition, like the kid, suddenly cry and run to you, understand? Then you tell the kid, okay, don't worry. What happened? You must be naughty. Then the papa here, happy, understand? Naughty, that's why I discipline him, I want to whack him. But don't worry, he's your father, he's your parent, he loves you more actually. But it's for your good, understand? That he want to train you, want to discipline you, or do all those things. You say it like that, it can help to resolve the thing. Then the father also turned down. That's how you apply the way. But must have condition. If he don't run to you, you run to the father and tell him, oh, I tell you, you're finished. You cannot whack until you don't know what is happening. Because the fellow got every right to tell you, who the hell are you? How I discipline my son or my daughter? You got problem. So, when it comes to life, existence, if you have the Dhamma, you will know how to attend to a situation. There's an echo and flow. No condition, nothing happens. The condition, see how it flows. It can help, help. Understand? No. Don't attach, don't cling, don't grasp. Don't say, ayo, I must have compassion. Then you become what? Deluded, kind-hearted fool, understand? No. Wow, see anyone? Go and give. Korean. They will prey on your, what they call, compassion. Because they know you're very kind, very generous. Everyone you see, oh, I must do merit, I must make offering, I must help. If there is no condition you do, means what? There is craving for merit, understand? What do you think by doing generous, I become virtuous, I have merits. But sometimes the fellow, indirectly, he is a fake. That's why you see nowadays society got a lot of what? go and get hold of those kids, chop their leg, chop their hand, and then back on the street. You go and offer. You created all this, because a lot of people are very generous. Then now they even put on the road and pretend to be monk and put the butt there in the marketplace. Then sometimes I used to tell my wife and my daughter, they are, you go and eat lasagna in the coffee shop. Within half an hour, 3-4 salesmen come in and say, sell you things and all those things. So some of them are not genuine. They are not sincere. They actually try to deceive you and cheat you. So you know you are a cultivator to, in order to avoid such unnecessary karmic repercussion or conditioning. And most of the time, if I can sense, I will not donate or buy. I just say it's okay, thank you, thank you. Then they pass on. But if I can sense it's genuine, then I will donate, I will give. Understand? So it depends on your sensitivity, your understanding, yeah, and the causes and condition behind. Sometimes it's meant to be, you know, that person, for no reason, you will help one. Like last time I saw in the newspaper, especially I told you about my new car, 4 tires, 3 of them punctured and got problem. I just don't need to know. I don't know them one. But got condition. At that time, I will go and look at the newspaper. Then I found this one. I purposely go and look around. Then last time is New Street Time. Star also have. Then some like Chinese paper. So we donate. Means what? They have the condition to receive. Where this is their pyramid. That's how they receive. Then sometimes I donate. After a while, I realize that the newspaper will publish. Oh, they receive more than what they need. Then the better fund, they will do other charity. So you feel the joy, understand? So all this is what nature's law is all about. Okay? Continue.
Then JK continued, which tends towards exclusiveness means what? The egoic mind wants that. Me and I can do this implies very exclusive. I already improved. My meditation is really not bad. And all these are the thought. So that's why when you determine, then there is a direction. There is a goal where you want to walk towards. That's why the moment you want to be an arahant, you are dead. Because the becoming kills you spiritually. Who wants to become? The thought wants to become. And becoming is craving. The moment you have craving, you cannot realize the enlightenment. 5.3.15, the awakening. So don't try to become anything. Just silent and sincerely, patiently cultivate. Then you will awaken. The moment the mundane mind awakens and realizes itself and sees, that's wisdom. And when wisdom arises, there is no more delusion. That's why you could see things as they are. You awaken to the three universal characteristics of nature. There is no more delusion, and thought will have no more power over you. Then you see things as they are, which is beyond thought, beyond time. Otherwise, you will continually use thought, which is psychological time. Then you will be trapped in time and trapped within the field of thought. 5.3.16, the mystery of life unfolds. Then, next one is what? After awareness is the silent and choiceless observation of what is. It said, in this awareness, the problem unrolls itself. I prefer to use the word unfolds itself. This can happen because when you're silent and aware, the phenomena will tell you the story. Your silent mind will understand. The awareness without thought will awaken to it and understand what it is. That is how you will understand without word. How contact triggers off consciousness, not only consciousness. Within the content that you input into, there is also feeling which will simultaneously also arise. You will come to know them all, not through the textbook, not through the one-dimensional dependent origination that says, upon contact, feeling arise. Then you go look for the feeling. This is so gullible, isn't it? Just like the physics experiment, upon contact, consciousness comes to be. The mind becomes conscious first, and then within. There is also the content of consciousness where perception and feeling also arise. Then feeling will be stirred and be conditioned into craving because of sakkaya ditti or self-delusion due to your lack of wisdom or wise attention, uniso manasikara, at the moment of contact. You got instead ayoniso manasikara or unwise attention. So this is how living being gets into trouble. So when you understand all this, the whole mystery of life like slowly unfolds itself. Then you will start to understand how you function as a human being following the dependent origination or the 12 links. That's why when you develop the silent mind, don't try to know anything. And when you meditate, don't try to know or try to say, is this sati or is this anicca? Or is this what the Buddha meant as anatta? But after the meditation, you can reflect and contemplate. But when you are meditating or doing it, never ever do that. If you do that, what does it mean? The thought is trying to come in from the back door to tell you all these things. Then how can you be in sati anymore? Who say it is anicca? Your thought, right? That is why Dharma-based and thought-based meditation will have all these problems. Oh, I realize already. This is what the book said. This is what the Buddha said. All these are your thoughts, verbalization. Question by Sister Dilan. Is this the reason why when you go for certain retreats, they don't allow you to read books? Answer by Brother Theo. Yes, there is some truth in that statement, i.e. when you meditate, don't read anything. But it does not apply to everybody because some people who had cultivated in the past, if they read, the moment they read truth, they can awaken straight away to it. So it doesn't mean that you cannot read. You can read, but don't attach or carry that information or knowledge in your brain. When you meditate, have an open mind. That's what choiceless awareness is all about. Don't in the meditation verbalize, oh, I remember what the textbook said, what the Buddha said. Then you are finished or become helpless already. Understand or not? Actually, it is not the Buddha or the textbook. It is your thought that said, and you cannot see at all. And you say, and you some more say, you got sati. And you still think you are such a great meditator by saying that, I have been meditating for 20, 30, 40 years already. So don't come and tell me all this bullshit. But actually, they cannot see their own thoughts. They keep on quoting the books or the text while their thoughts, which is accumulated knowledge and not wisdom, and because they cannot see their own thoughts, they become deluded. 5.3.17, voluntary, involuntary, and spontaneous actions. Question by Mr. Chai. Breathing or heartbeat, we don't have to think about it because it will go on by itself. But when we come to the unconsciously, subconsciously, or voluntary and involuntary actions, how do you develop the understanding? Answer by Brother Theo. You ask about voluntary and involuntary actions, right? So you have to ask yourself, what is action? Action is the form and mind or human being doing something through the thought, correct or not. Then voluntary action means there is a will involved as against spontaneous actions when you don't think. Within the field of thoughts and awareness, there are three types of actions: voluntary, involuntary, and spontaneous. But for your case, you only have two because you are only within the field of thoughts. You studied biology before. Voluntary action is when you have a view to define what you want and intend to do. Like, if I want to come out of my sitting, then voluntarily I come out of my sitting, but for the biological experience, it is different. You put your legs crossed up, then the biology teacher used a rubber hammer to knock your knee, automatic and involuntarily, or involuntary, it reacts. That one is involuntary action. That one has nothing to do with thoughts, intention, but from your physical. True nerves respond, it just moves. That's involuntary action, whereas voluntary action is through your will. The third one is via wisdom, spontaneous action. No will is involved. No desire, no craving, no pre-planning, no checking with the memories. No to inquire whether to do or don't do. Like that better. If you act like that, it means you don't have wisdom. If you have wisdom, you don't have to think or consider, but instead you just act spontaneously because, according to JK, acting according to memory is not acting at all.
This one is very important. You know what is spontaneous. That's why I told you the yoniso manasikara, the wisdom. You have means you have, you don't have means. If you have, it spontaneously come out. It come out and prompt you before the input of content of consciousness. Before you can move that one from you, you understood it, not deluded. This is spontaneous. Means didn't go through memory, didn't go through the thought one, didn't go through a thought consideration one. Do or not do, like what I mentioned down there. Understand? So it's not acting according to memory. Memory means what? Wow, you try to recall, how should I act? Maybe you have already pre-planned. So all this is from memory. So memory is not spontaneous one. The other one is quite spontaneous, is one habit. So don't confuse habit for that. Your habit also, like immediately you pah, mosquito, pah. Because that one, like so mechanical already. Habitual means mechanical, repetitive. You keep on doing until it becomes habit. Siguan, as a habitual. That one is different type of spontaneity. That one is, it becomes habit. So a lot of habitual tendency, especially that day I realized when we had this discussion between husband and spouse, Padmasri. He gave the example, especially within husband and wife. Very fast one, the thing like machine gun. You comment a bit soon already. Because they two have been living for so long. So you know my habit, I know your habit. So you gong to to, I whack you. Gong to to, you whack you. You also like that one. You think you're very good. That's all the story. So when it's habit, it's not wisdom. The wisdom one is different. It's not happy, not from the brain, not from the conditioning one. Understand? So this is the main difference. That's why last time I remember Song told me he read Appendix 3. It took him so long, but he find it so beautiful. What is this quite here is very, very beautiful. The three type of action, you know what they are? Most people know only two, mundane. Voluntary and involuntary. Understand? Voluntary means you will it, you want to do. But the involuntary, you remember the biology teacher, you fold your knee up. When you hit the nerve here, the leg kick on, without you doing anything. Then you realize, how come my leg like that? Yeah, these are your nerves respond. So all this is what the teaching is all about. But there is another type, spontaneous one. They don't know. These are cultivator who have the wisdom, they will know. That's why this one, in the Abhidhamma, they call it prompt and unprompted. As well. But they never use the word spontaneous. It's spontaneous. Spontaneously arise to prompt you. And as well. That's why Abhidhamma use the word prompt. Prompt or unprompt. So, like the dana you make offering, or you do generosity. The Buddha under Abhidhamma say the highest merit through generosity is to have these three conditions. Somanasa sahagata, Remember? Summa masala, sahagatanga means happy before you do, happy when you do, and happy after you do. Then jnana sampayutang, you do with wisdom. Then asangkalikan. Do you know what is asangkalikan? He said unprompted. Means spontaneous, understand? You don't need to wait for people to tell, hey, the monk coming, no. They're all very good monk, no. Well-practiced monk, no. More than five, no. Become a sangha. But then you prompted, oh, like that, okay, okay, I follow you. But the unprompted one means, no need to be prompted one. He see monk, he got condition, he go. Understand? So all these are part of the spiritual teaching where people don't understand. That's why this appendix 3, I tell you, is fantastic. You know why? Because at that time, the Krishnamurti code was so beautiful. And I read, I understand. That's why I can explain all this to you. Just one code only, you know, I think one paragraph only. But everything is there. You know. How can a person without awareness understand all this? Although he uses his own word, but I understand what he teaches. Then I relate it to the Dhamma, Nasana, to let you see the Buddha's teaching and he's no different. So this is something people cannot understand. It's just like you say, hey, J. Krishnamurti, he's very good, very wise. Then some will tell you, the Buddhists are especially. I don't think so. You know, Four Noble Truths, no Noble Eightfold Path. You don't have it. Because you don't understand his teaching. His teaching approached from different direction, but he realized it through the awareness. When he aware, he can tell you. Acting according to memory is not acting at all. You think Buddhist teaching, Theravada got record? No. They say commit to memory, chanting. Repeat the sutta and all those things. And every now and then, one Buddhist council, they have to repeat all the teaching on memory. But if you look at Mahayana, then you realize Mahayana know accumulation is suffering. That's why they know memory is suffering. And memories of the past, understand? Like Krishnamurti said. So you didn't understand Mahayana, you didn't bring it together, especially you Theravada, you know, I said, hey, Mahayana run already. Cause of arising and suffering, they say accumulation. No? You accumulate wealth, cause me suffering. No? Now they go and talk about that. When you don't understand, you simply say things, and very dangerous. But they don't know what they mean by accumulation. Krishnamurti make it very clear. When you accumulate psychological memory, you get into trouble. Normal memory is okay. Mechanical memory is okay. Because you have to remember things. Your name, where you stay, how you sign your checkbook, and all those things. Learn technical things. You need memory, formula, all those things. So these are mechanical memory, nothing to do with the emotion, nothing to do with psychological, the thought processor. So all this understanding, when you understand, the two mesh so beautifully. Understand? Okay, great. Yeah. Yes. Good.
Voluntary wisdom.
Wait. Wow, they are very good. Yeah.
So voluntary wisdom.
Yeah, very good.
You find this in a lot of wise guys.
Oh, is it?
A lot of wise guys. Kekian.
Yeah, Kekian. Kekian. Inverted combo.
Voluntary wisdom is you think it.
Yeah.
So wise, so wise guy is different from wise ones.
Yeah. Thank you. Very good. Very good. Voluntary wisdom, not spontaneous. That's why voluntary action, we want through the thought of Kekian. But the wise one, okay, Kekian one is spontaneous one. No need book, no need note one. Just out immediately respond. Krishnamurti also in one of the quote mentioned, they can reply to you and answer to you spontaneously. They no need to go and check book and all those things. Because that is what wisdom is. You have is you have. No need to store in the memory. You understand? But this is wisdom. Wisdom is an awakening, an insight that your awareness realizes. Cannot be taken away from you. You realize that. That's why whatever happened in life, my nature knows what to do and how to handle. With that understanding, the wisdom is not rigid one. Understand? Not specific, targeted to only certain problem only you can solve one. This one is can solve all suffering. But whatever suffering, in whatever different form, the cause behind is always craving. You can trace it. Understand? That of course Mahayana use another word, accumulation, which can also be explained. Well, the brain accumulate that. Then like Krishnamurti said, what is experience? Experience from the thought, from the memory, and so on. So the wise one, which is aware, don't experience. That's why every moment, every instant is pristine, and that's not new. The memory one, they want it repeated one. No? That's not, but the memory conditioned them. Wow, last time, very nice of that Buddha. But they don't understand. If a condition like the Buddha, the king invite him, the rich, wealthy people invite him, he also eat, understand? But he don't go and crave. He don't go and purposely tell Ananda, I tell him, hey, last night, that place we went to, or the last dana, very nice, or where they bought, you go and buy for me. If like that is kaulala. So if it's condition arising, through condition like somebody want to make offering, then ask Ananda, and then it's different. Like you all know my habit, Hamifa Murtasaipa Masri that they buy. So let's say he go and ask Ananda, you want to make offering to the world. He like this style of food, and you go there, but then it's okay, understand? But there is condition, but this person voluntarily say he want to go, dana, offer. So you do. That's why you got condition, you do. With understanding, you do. Otherwise, you become craving. But you keep on through memory, you recall. Wow, they're very nice. So this is what mundane mind, memory is all about. That's why this one will create comparison. Memory let you compare. Then comparison, you certain craving. Your craving will want the good one, reject the not good one. That's why the duality inside, and that's why the conflict inside. That's why acting according to memory and not acting at all. We are based on delusion. Before you become enlightened, how can your memory be wise? You can't. And wisdom comes from awareness, not from thought. So it's not knowledge. But the brain, the memory, have a lot of knowledge on. A lot of knowledge. All the memory is knowledge, rigid. So you know a lot of knowledge, but you don't have wisdom. So that is where the difference is, understanding life and being rigid. So when you understand all this, your Dhamma cultivation becomes different. The way you understand things become different. The way you live your life become different. Okay? Continue a bit more. Almost 5:15, another 8 minutes.
You only consider and think initially, just like when the Buddha taught the Kalama Sutta. To the Kalamas, he said, whatever they teach you to do, you have to check. If I do, does it harm myself or harm others? Ah, that one you use thought to develop the understanding initially. Then you decide to do or not to do. Then if it is the truth, if it doesn't hurt you and hurt or harm others, then you do. When you cultivate until you awaken already, you will do things spontaneously via wisdom. You don't think anymore because thought is always selfish and egoic. Via wisdom, you just act spontaneously.
Don't you understand
now? Via wisdom, you just act spontaneously. So you act according to wisdom, following the Dhamma way. Noble Eightfold Path to resolve everything. But that is the path that leads to all the answer to suffering. It leads to the end of all suffering. So you have to have this understanding, acting according to wisdom, following the Dhamma way, applying Noble Eightfold Path. And all this I summarized for you already. So it's very easy. Then when you cultivate, when you come across all this understanding, you will rejoice later on. Oh, you say, this is beautiful. This is so profound, so wonderful, amazing. That's why you look at Hasuta. True emptiness is wonderful. Everything is wonderful, amazing, you know, say, pristine. So all these are possible because with the Dhamma, all these become possible.
That's why that day in the Thursday class, someone told me she can do things spontaneously already. It was Sister Ingvi. While in the office, there was a colleague who earlier on had a misunderstanding with her.
Yeah, this one true. This one Ingvi shared. Very good. You read.
The colleague thought she was the one who did his year-end appraisal. He was not happy because he didn't get a good appraisal. But later on, he came to know that his appraisal was not done by Sister Ingvi. Then a few days later, after the Cameron Highlands retreat, she brought some strawberries to her office and placed it on the table near the storeroom. Then this colleague of hers walked by, and spontaneously she talked to him. She said, "There are some strawberries that I bought from Cameron Highlands, and you can have it. It is quite nice." Surprisingly, he was very friendly, and at that time, Ingvi didn't feel anything, but later on, when she was on her own, then with her awareness, she came to realize that it was the awareness that enabled her to act spontaneously.
Yeah, that is what it is. Otherwise, the brain memory there, calculate or no? Oh, calculate. Then, paise lah, should talk to him or not. Then you cannot act spontaneously. You cannot do all those things. So this is a very good example. Huh? Continue.
If she had thought about it and would not have, she would not have approached this colleague, because there was already the memory that said, "This colleague doesn't like me, so it may arise some misunderstanding if I approach him." When she recalled and reflected upon this incident, she just smiled, because suddenly this colleague was not like before anymore, so friendly already. He already like could respond with such pleasantness, and it's now so different. So this is the difference between spontaneous action that happens naturally and the one with the planned approach via thought consideration, which is not natural at all.
The key word is not natural at all. That's why when you approach it from the thought, it's not natural. There is a motive behind it. Which means it's not natural because there is no wisdom behind it. You got a motive. So most of the time you got a motive. You yourself scared on you realize. You want to steal things from people. That robber or what are also scared on you. They're the top channel. What happened if they come to know? They will come. They report to police. Then the police come. Then rape me and get into trouble. So they also scared. Then sometimes you want to go and steal. At that time you scared people come in. People's weakness and saw that you steal. Then that fear is there or not? It's not natural. That's why when you have a motive, when you plan something, it's not natural already. Okay?
5.3.18. Check and question the thought. People can see it because that planning is the thought. And thought is always selfish and egoic before you become enlightened. That's why before you become enlightened, try not to use so much thought. When you have strengthened your view already, then you can use thought. Otherwise, thought is very dangerous. That's why Byron Katie asks you to check and question the thought. Is it true? Are you sure it is absolutely true? You should say it is true. And then with the third question, you will start to understand how thoughts delude you. The third question is, what happened when you think that thought? Oh, I become miserable. Then her fourth question, without those thoughts, how will you be? Oh, before that thought, I was normal, happy and beautiful. Then you will come to realize that all these thoughts that make you unhappy, miserable, fearful, selfish, with the evil roots, are all wrong thoughts deceiving you. That's why the Buddha states, it clearly in the Noble Eightfold Path that you must have right thought, both of right views or right understanding. How to arise right thoughts? The user of thought is very important, isn't it? If the user is deluded, how can he be right thought? If the user of thought is deluded, thought will be evil. That's why you must put in effort to cultivate virtue, goodness, kindness, etc. to arise the right thoughts that are still not in you after you have straightened your views. To have right views, you must understand the five universal orders or laws that govern all of life and existence, especially the law of karma, karma niyama, and the law of the mind, citta niyama. Otherwise, without the straightening of your views via the right views, your thought will always be wrong thought.
Okay, good. We stop here. Huh? 5:40. Okay, we stop here. Yeah, the next one also very good. 5.3.19. We keep it for later. Have your tendencies and memory. Yeah. That's why now you start to understand this thing deeper. Last time I cannot finish on it. I never come to Appendix 3. You realize or not?
That's true.
You realize or not? Previously, I got no time for Appendix 3. But this time, strange. We finish ahead of time. Then meant to be. That's why this teaching, 10 over years ago, no, I also cannot remember it. But when I hear, yeah, wow, it was so much joy. You see, at that time, I understand all this, how to teach people and advise people. That's why now you look back, like Song, you ask him, you better share last time. How many years you cannot understand until you went to Rayong? And of all the Hasutta, he bring only Appendix 3.
对，以前我看很多次。
你看很多次, huh?
对。
I think at least 10 times. No? Yeah, he know a lot of things inside there. But that time, haven't stabilized, haven't connected. Then when he was in Rayong, because he read this, somehow the karmic ripened, the condition manifest, then connect. That's why when he connect, come back, I know he, technically after this, you don't need teacher already. But he caught by the thought, the analysis part, the reasoning part. So go back to the thought again. The back door cannot connect. If he had continued to relax and allow that thing to continue to stabilize and manifest and don't try to know, then no more problem. Of course, that one, when you develop the awareness, the sukhang, the pity, all will come. So, how you some more? Yeah, and okay, so okay. Sadhu.
Thank you.
Okay. Pay respect, then we break for